Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yay Networks.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's episode of Dear Reality, You're Effed. I'm very excited for our guest this week. He is the first male chief stew in Below Deck history. I think there's now about 472 seasons of Below Deck, and he's the first male chief stew. I've got Woo-hoo! The gorgeous, the fabulous Fraser. Hi, honey. How are you?
Hello, Hannah. I'm so well. How are you doing? Thank you for having me yet again.
Of course. When was the last time you came on the podcast with me? Was that about a year ago?
It was winter. I think it was about November time.
November. And we've just finished November.
November last year. It's been like a whole year. So, yeah. A year ago.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're going to do my birthday podcast with you every year.
Please. That would be my absolute pleasure, my lifelong dream, every year with you on your birthday, Greg.
So how does it feel, I guess, to be the first male chief stew in Below Deck history?
I don't even know how to describe it. I obviously feel very, very honored. I'm very privileged to have this position. I worked my ass off, let's not forget that. But I do feel very special. And I think that, I have to say, I worked hard for it. I wanted it. I wanted it from the first season that I started. And was I prepared for it? Absolutely not. But I seized the opportunity and did my best with it. And here I am. And actually, it was quite a good season. So I'm very pleased.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, as you know, I was chatting with Lee last week and we were kind of talking about what's been happening with Below Deck Normal and Below Deck Med since Kate and I left, because obviously they've changed the chief stew each time. So I was watching the last episode with my husband last night and I went, babe, I think this is it. I think they've found him. I think we've got our chief steward that is going to do season after season.
Hannah, do you know how much that means to me? Like, to hear it from you, to have watched you for so many years and to hear that, that makes me feel amazing. I truly appreciate it. And do you know what? None of me in this industry would be where I am without having followed and loved and sort of like totally made you my mogul from the beginning. So this is down to you and to Kate, and I so appreciative to you both, but thank you so much. That means so much to me.
Of course. No, well, I think there is, you know, there's a lot of things that you need to kind of do that role on Below Deck, and you need to have like the experience and be able to do the chief stewardess or chief steward side, but you also need to have like some charisma and some personality, because it is a TV show at the end of the day. Like, it's a TV show about a job, but you don't want to watch somebody boring doing it, you know?
No.
So you've definitely got that pizzazz, which we love to watch.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you so much. I think also, like, you know, all of us started in yachting. We were yachties, like thoroughbred yachties doing our hard work in the job, and sort of like everyone just used to, like, I guess, benefit or just hate what we were about. But the fact that it's been picked up and recognized and appreciated by Bravo, I mean, that's amazing. And I always say, like,
yeah,
I just do my job and then the world gets to enjoy watching it. And isn't that the most amazing sort of like position to be in? You get the added bonuses of all the show brings you, but equally you do what you love, and I just love that. It's great.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, and the funny thing is, I actually had a really hilarious encounter yesterday. So do you guys have Bunnings in the UK?
No. What is that?
No. So Bunnings is this like massive industrial warehouse where you go buy like everything for your house.
Like a Costco.
And I was there. Kind of like a Costco, but more like Home Renovations, Depot, like all the tradies go there, like all the road constructions and the government go there for everything. So I've got this amazing home organizer coming to organize like four rooms in my house over the next 2 days. I'm so excited. I'm like, you definitely know that you're getting on in life, where like all week you're sitting there like a little kid on Christmas Eve going like, my house is going to be organized.
I'm but so Hannah, I'm really surprised that's not you already. I feel like you're the type of person to have everything immaculate always anyway.
So do you know what's funny? You would think that, but I'm really good at organizing small areas.
Okay.
I think because the boating experience, so like the areas I use in my house, like my wardrobe, my kitchen, my bathroom, like they're all organized with like hair products,
perfect,
face products, like everything I use in a day-to-day basis is like super organized. And then anywhere I can shut a door is completely fucked. It looks like a bomb.
Out of sight, out of mind, babe. I get it.
Yes.
I finally got into the stage. You don't need,
Mm-hmm. But you can see right now, like I have to podcast from my dining room table because I can't use my study because I would get completely bombarded on social media with like, clean your shit up, clean your shit up. So
you've got someone coming in who's going to wrap it up and to organize it all and make your life, I mean, to make your life perfect.
Yeah, so her name's Anita. She's on Miss On Plus. If you have anything to organize, go follow her on Instagram. She's amazing. But she did my pantry like a year ago. And I kind of went like when I found out like how much the whole thing would have cost because I did a collab with Howard Storage and her, which was amazing. I was like, there's no way I would have paid that. And a year later, I can safely say I would have definitely paid that because pantry still looks like it did a year ago and you find everything so easily.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Has she done your wardrobe or is that something you're on top of?
No, I'm on top of that. So, and I've got this gorgeous
that
stylist.
That is a very safe space I was about to say, you've got a phenomenal piece of work in that. Yeah, to look after.
Yeah. And it has two doors, which I love. My girlfriend's like, who needs two doors to their walk-in wardrobe? I'm like, me, I do.
I do. Yeah.
I do. So anyway, I went to Bunnings yesterday and there's like a woman at the front who kind of you can ask like, where is this? And she's like, aisle 47. And I shit you not, there's like 47 aisles.
Right.
And when I came back, she goes in like this thick Australian accent. She's like, you know, you look like this girl that used to be on this boating show. She was great. She doesn't do it anymore. I think she ended up having a little girl. I was like, oh, okay. She's like, oh, she was fantastic. What's it called? Below, under, below, something like that.
Oh,
I was like, oh, okay.
Painful.
And she started talking to me and describing like my job. And I was like, oh, do you mean like the chief stewardess? She's like, yeah.
I love how you didn't say anything.
Oh, no. So I ended up saying, I was like, oh, well, that's me. And she's like, no, it's not. You just look like her. And I was like, she's like, then what's your name? And she starts like interrogating me.
Stop.
I was like, Hannah. And she's like, oh my God, it is you. It was the funniest thing. And I just go, yeah, I think the amazing thing with Below Deck is you have like 18-year-olds who love it. And then you've got like 60-year-olds like her who love it.
That's the best thing about it. And do you know what? Out of all of these shows that are on Bravo, all regardless of any other, like they always have a specific demographic. And then Below Deck, from what I've noticed, you've got men and women. First of all, that's a huge achievement in itself. But then you've got the chaps, right? Older chaps who love the world of yachting or fishing, who get into it for that. And then you've got the younger kids who love the drama and love the, you know, the relationships. And then you've got people who are aspiring to be in the industry. You have such a large demographic. And I think that's what's really special about this show. And I really, I love that. That's what makes us different. I think also on that note, I always, when I'm explaining to myself to people, sometimes a bit like, oh God, it's a bit awkward. I'm on a reality TV show. And, you know, you've got that that judgment that comes immediately into, you know, on that. And then it's like, hold on, I think it's the only show that I'm aware of where I actually do my job to the best of my ability in the most ridiculous conditions. And I'm filmed, but I'm working and I'm proving myself. And usually on reality TV, that's very far from the truth.
I know. So I completely agree with you. And I feel like as well, like There's obviously a lot of reality TV, and I've been doing a lot of events and things like that because of the Real Love Boat that came out in Australia.
Yes.
And I've been saying to my husband, though, when we go, I'm like, I kind of come home and I go, like, I feel like I don't fit in, like, in this world, because I, like, it's not like I was trying out for every reality show, trying to get on TV, trying to get famous, trying to get Instagram followers. Like, it was back then, especially, it was such a, like, oh, it's a show about yachting. Let's give it a shot, blah, blah, blah. And then you go now, like, to events and people spend, like, the entire time taking photos of themselves. And I'm like, I take, like, one selfie. I'm like, okay, I'm going for a glass of champagne now, and I'm going to enjoy
100%.
it. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's also, like, because did they found you, I presume, somewhere, a casting director found you at some point, did they? Is that how you got into it?
I think I was messaged about it on Facebook, and then it was like 3 months later and I applied.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was back when? What year was that?
2015.
I mean, wow.
I know, right? A little while ago.
You're an OG. What do you expect? You had to put in those years. I mean, good for you.
Yeah. No, exactly. And people often ask me as well, like, do you regret it? I'm like, no, why would I regret it? Like,
why would anyone ask that either?
Well, because I think because of the way it ended for me, people are like, oh, do you regret doing the whole thing? I'm like, well, no, because firstly, I have no embarrassment about how it ended on my side. Yeah, because, like, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not fine with how it went down, but I'm fine with, like, people knowing that I, like, everyone already knew I had anxiety and would assume I have medication for it anyway. Mm-hmm. But, like, why would I regret something that's, like, shaped, you know, such a massive part of my life and has given me so many opportunities, you know?
Absolutely. You've done so much from it and so well from it, and you're in a very beautiful place right now in your life, and, you know, you've got to take in and appreciate everything you've, you know, had to build that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start talking about you.
Sorry. God.
No, it's me as well, because I think I've kind of chatted with you enough now that it's almost like we're just kind of chatting as friends, but I do actually have questions for you.
Okay, fine. Let's do it. Let's do that boring stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, firstly, I just wanted to say I was watching you in that first episode where your two stewardesses were in bed and you were still up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And I have to tell you, I've done that as well. I made that mistake. I don't think it got aired till 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like yelling at the TV. Yeah. I'm like, Frasier, get them out of bed. Get them working.
It's hard. It's hard. And you know. And I spoke to you before I did this season, and it was brief. I was being cryptic towards you, and you were like, yeah, I know. And I was like, I'm doing it. And I just think that first of all, I know that I didn't have enough experience, but it was an opportunity that I said that I wanted to grab, and I had been a chief. So I was like, listen, I've always been someone to take on a challenge and to give it everything and to be the best at it. Now, that process is not smooth, and nor should it be. So it was very much a learning curve the entire season. But jumping in and just giving it my all was the only thing I could do. And I knew I wasn't prepared for it because I'd only had about 3 months experience as a chief on a boat before this. But I also think that if you don't put yourself in challenging and scary, you know, places in life, then you're not who you make yourself out to be. And I make myself out to be the best of the best, and I know I'm not, but I'm only going to do better if I challenge myself and just like throw, you know, I knew I was throwing myself into the deep, dark depths of hell by doing this position, but I've grown so much from it and I've learned so much from it. And it was terrifying to say the least. But, you know,
my entire motto in life, Fraser, is fake it till you make it.
100%. And I've said this nonstop. I don't like saying that, but it's entirely the truth. Like, entirely. And also, and I think also, but within that, you know, faking confidence, having confidence and faking confidence regardless, pretending like no one wants to look up to someone who doesn't look like they know what they're doing. And that was my my main stream of thought, I was like, these stews are going to come in. They might even have more experience than I do. But if I don't at least pretend like I know what I'm doing, then they're not going to trust me. And I just constantly had to be thinking, if I had a chief stew and I respected the chief stew, what would they do? And I just acted on that constantly.
Yeah.
And it was the only way they got me through.
Yeah.
Truly.
Well, I'm excited to see the rest of the season because we've had two episodes so far. They've been pretty explosive. I must admit I'm struggling to watch it with Lee just because, like, Lee and I have known each other for such a long time and he's always just been so lovely to me and so wonderful and so supportive. So seeing him not in his best state, like I think like I did kind of cry a little bit last night just when he was trying to get to the wheelhouse and I was like, it's so hard to see him like that. But apart from that, it looks like it's going to be an amazing season.
It is an amazing season without being biased. It is. There's a lot that happens and it even shocks me, you know, thinking back to what actually occurs throughout. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are ups and downs. And of course, it was very hard for us to, or at least myself and Rachel, who'd worked with Lee before, to see him in so much pain and to struggle and to really value him as a human being. More so than just a captain, you know, that was really tough. Yeah. And you'll see how that pans out. But yeah, no, it was hard. There was a lot of emotions this season for sure.
Yeah. And it was the biggest yacht Below Deck has ever filmed on in the franchise history. And it was the first time we've ever seen, which I like literally love because I love the drama when I'm watching, but the first time we've ever seen a proper deck stew on board.
Okay, rephrase what you mean by proper. One that works well?
We've had people in the past that are like deckhands, but they come and help the interior and things like that. But that girl, what's her name, sorry?
Camille.
The deck stew?
Camille.
Yeah. Camille. So, sorry, it'll take me a few weeks to learn everyone's names. Mm-hmm. She is like an actual 50% deck and 50% stew, and just wink twice if I'm correct, but that's going to cause a lot of shit in the season, isn't it?
There's no point in me winking at all. I think that, okay, my personal opinion, and I think it was quite obvious of my face when Lee first approached me with the CV telling me what her position was going to be. I think on a vessel this size, in the scenario we've been placed into, which is, here's a boat that has been totally destroyed and totally unready for charter season. Make it work in 24 hours. We're going to need interior help regardless. Deck can be, I just feel like deck crew can make it work because guests don't really see the ins and outs of what's great and what's not on deck. However, they've all experienced high-end hospitality. They've all been in five-star luxury hotels. They've all been to beautiful restaurants. So the eyes are on us. And the most important job, deck, on a super yacht is to maintain the highest levels of hospitality service. And that's on us. So immediately I'm like, okay, I've got someone who's going to do both. No, you're going to come inside and you're going to help us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we have a spare moment, you can go out. But if that happens, great. If not, get in. Let's be honest. Okay, with docking or whatever else, of course. But yeah, I knew that was going to be a problem from the get-go. And it is.
Yeah.
It will be.
Yeah, no, I figured that. And we're also seeing drama with your stewardesses already and like pretty heated drama for Charter One. Did you know all of that was going down?
I'm so glad you asked that question. And the answer is no.
No.
And I'm watching it now and I'm like, how did I not know it was this bad from day one?
From
not even
day
like
one.
Three charters in, like super, like it was bad. And I wasn't happy at all watching back, looking at how bad they were speaking to each other. You know, I'm not going to take either of them either side.
Damn it,
however,
that was
what
my
I did
question.
Notice. Yeah, I wasn't going to, I'm not going to take sides this day because at this point in time, I was so focused on making the job work. And Alyssa was brilliant. She was the second stew. And listen, I don't know if I should have given that second stew position so soon, but I did. And I was totally, thankfully, correct in my decision. She was a brilliant worker.
And she's the dark curly haired?
That's correct.
Okay.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant stewardess. I mean, just everything you asked, it was done and done beautifully. And that's what I needed. I needed that.
But most of the issues that she's having is with Camille, the deck stew, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
Deck was very... the deck crew were working well and they didn't need help. And the kind of agreement I had with Ross, the bosun, or at least the head of the deck crew, was, can I use her? Because I'm going to need her. And if you need her, let me know and you'll take her outside. Because there wasn't much going on. Also, the weather's so bad in St. Lucia that there was like hardly anything going on outside. Like hardly any activities. Yeah. And if there were, it was just off the swim platform.
No, I know. Like I sometimes used to get so frustrated because I was like, okay, I get when you're watching the show that it's like there's always like docking drama or anchor drama or any of that. I'm like, that's like 20 minutes of the full day. In the interior when we're running around like that at that speed for like 16 hours a day and it takes up the same amount of screen time.
Quite. So, yeah. So it was like
frustrating.
We needed her big time. So I kind of like ignored the deck stew position situation and took her on the inside.
Yeah.
Because she was needed. Okay. And you're in a team and you have the same job, which is to provide excellent service on a super yacht. And guess what? The team needed help on the inside. There should be no conversation there.
Yeah. So speaking of Camille, in this last episode when you saw her and the other deckhand jump into the water mid-picnic, my jaw was on the ground. I want to know what happened. Did you know about this when you were on charter?
No.
So did you just find out when you watched the episode?
No, I found out afterwards. But I didn't know during, and my God, if I knew, things would be different. There would have been a different storyline. But I think it's totally disrespectful. And I think that she quotes, "Why am I in St. Lucia if I can't enjoy myself?"
To work, bitch, to work.
Because you took a job and you're here to work. And I don't know who's trying to simplify or make our job look easy or like a walk in the park or a holiday, but it's not. And if any single viewer needs to know one thing, is that our job is brutally hard on the body and your like mental state, and you need to be able to do it well. Yes, it's a TV show, but none of it is scripted and none of it is intervened by production. And there are 24 hours in a day and the viewers see 41 minutes over a two-day period. It is hard work. It is hell. And there's no time for a break. There's most certainly no time for a swim. I'm sorry. Maybe on other boats, but not during the show.
But especially as well, like there were situations when we were filming and like I filmed over 5 years and I think it happened twice where the guests were off the boat on a shore excursion and the boat was ready. And then I think Mark did one and Sandy did one where it was like, okay, cool. You can go jump in off the swim platform if you'd like to spend your break doing that. I personally wouldn't because I'm like, I can't be doing my hair. But doing it in the middle of a beach picnic when you are on the clock and you're getting paid is insane.
Do you know what's most painful to watch is that the other crew are working their asses off to finish. Like, I get it if you're ready. I get it if the guests are an hour away. Like, so cool. Like, I'm chill as well. There are times this season whereby, whether it's going to be shown or not, I'm not sure, the guests go to shore, I don't do the beach picnic, I've set up everything inside, I just jump off the boat and go for a quick swim and come straight back on. And fine. There's the right place and the right time for everything. But when everyone else is working their asses off and you just feel entitled to go for a dip, day two, come on. The attitudes that I was given for my first time being chief was a little bit unfair, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Not unfair, but you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. Don't worry. My last season was like that crazy Lara girl. And then they're like, oh, yeah,
I remember. She's
crazy. So she's fired. But then apparently the only stewardess in the whole wide world that's available to come and replace her is the one you said you wouldn't work with again. I was like, oh, what a coincidence.
Oh, it's so weird. Yeah, no, I get you.
So weird. But I have to say, I was watching last night, and that incident where Lee didn't have the white shirt to for when the guests were getting off the boat, I just have to tell you, you are so lucky. He was so lovely about it and so understanding. And Lee is so great at kind of making you go like, you know, that it's almost that like, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. And that's even worse, you know, because you're like, I don't want to like disappoint the loveliest captain in the world.
Do you know what? Well, quite, but the worst thing was, I didn't know that was the case until he came out in it. I sent Camille down and I was like, you find that shirt and you do whatever you can to put it on his back because that's your job and I told you to do that. And also, let's be honest, laundry, I don't know who in this world thinks it's actually that hard to do, but you can get it all sorted in 20 minutes a day if you need to. Like, it's not hard. You can be on the deck. You could literally work on deck and still be a laundry stewardess. Like, it's
just prioritize.
Possible. Quite. Just and the like fact that I saw him come out in his blue polo killed me. And I was like, I just so you know, Cap, like, this is never going to happen again. Because also, had I been made aware of this, because I thought it was sorted after I told her to deal with it, and it clearly wasn't. Mm. No, I know. So Captain's very specific. He likes his things to be washed, and then everything that's not underwear and socks, it needs to be dried. But in these circumstances, you've got to do what you've got to do to make it work. You've got to do what you've got to do to pretend that you've made it work regardless. So I would have bloody thrown that in the, you know, dryer, ironed it, pressed it, got it ready and brought it out to him. The fact that he came out in a blue polo killed me, and I needed to speak to him about it. I'm not going to ignore that. It's on me. No. That's the thing. Being chief, everything that happens on the interior is on you if it's not sorted. So it's important to speak up in those times.
Yeah. Well, no, you're lucky that you have such an understanding captain. I'll never forget one. I think it was like season 4 or season 5 when we were filming, and like, I don't think I've ever told anyone this, even production. Somebody had put the red polo in with Sandy's white pants and white shirt, and I opened the washing machine, and like, her white pants and white shirt were pink. And so instead of like, because I was so scared, like instead of just going like, hey, this has happened, let's deal with it, I put my back to the camera, shoved these things up my skirt, and then walked onto the dock to have a cigarette, looked to see if anyone was filming. Yes!
No! Hannah, you were a genius. But wait, did she ever did she ever ask about them again?
Oh, no, I think I got fired like a day or two later. I'm like, later, fuckers.
Thank God. Luck with that. But the one moment you're like, I need to go anyway.
Yeah. But it was almost like I was so like nervous about like, but it was such a simple mistake. And like, I'm sure if that happened with Lee, that you could just go and go like, look, somebody has done this. Don't know who. We all kind of work in laundry. Many apologies. Yeah. We'll order you new ones. And he'd be like, hey, shit happens, you know? Whereas I was like, okay, put it up your skirt and go get rid of the evidence as soon as possible.
But you know what? I so get it. Sometimes you could like, I think looking back now, obviously you'd be like, okay, someone fucked up, whatever. Or even I fucked up, whatever. But like, I think that's what's so important about, I think, how old were you when you started as chief on the show?
I think 27.
Okay, so good age still, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if I, a year ago, I would have done the same thing, but now I'm just so unapologetic. Like, if I do something wrong in life, let alone on the boat, like, you've just got to be totally accepting and responsible for it. Because there's nothing worse than lying about it.
I will give you 4 seasons of working with Sandy, and then I want to see if you say the same thing.
Yeah.
She puts the fear of God into you.
Yeah, I don't know how well we'd work together. I don't know. I just work very well with Captain Lee, and I think that I'm very lucky to have him. And I, you know, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So speaking of people you've worked with before, were you super excited when you got on board and saw Rachel in the galley?
Do you know what? I really was. I think that I'd seen her previously work with my ex-chief Heather, and I sort of knew what sort of worker she was. Equally, like, as a second last season, I knew how she worked. I knew how to be with her. And, you know, I think, as you know very well, working with some chefs, or at least maybe most chefs, you've got to tread a certain way. You've got to be how they like it. And I immediately, first of all, I was like, great, a bit of home. I'm so out of my depth already. To have someone who I've worked with before is just a huge blessing. So I was like, great. Captain Lee as well, great. At least I've got that on my side. And then after that, it was like, right, do all the other shit in my own time. But having her and working so closely as a chief with the chef is very important. So I was like, we're good. I felt very, very good about it. And we worked very well together, you know, albeit the, you know, the bit of, you know, the grief here and there, which is natural. But no, I was very happy.
Yeah. When you're working that closely, you're going to have issues with anyone. It's just about, like, whether you can let them simmer or they blow up and then the boat blows up.
So, absolutely. But as you know, you've got to tread on eggshells around chefs. You've got to be who want you to be. It's not about you anymore. It's how, otherwise you've just got, you know, hellfire.
No, I must admit the closest I have ever had to, like, working with a chef who's not a chef is trying to navigate, like, a day with my 2-year-old. I think the experience I had working with chefs and then how I have to work with my 2-year-old is pretty on par.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, she will, like, throw herself down on the ground and be crying and throwing stuff. I'm like, there's no reason to be acting like this. There's no reason to be doing this, but you're still having a tantrum for no reason.
The chef.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
God, so I think gives me another reason not to have kids. I can't work with chefs. It's not enjoyable.
No. The first 6 months of having Ava was like the experience I got from yachting, working with the Russians that would stay up like for 19 hours a day and be like super demanding and constantly want bottles. That was the first 6 months, was the Russians. Now we've got the chefs. And then I reckon when she's a teenager, it'll be like the second and third stewardesses. You know, they talk back. They don't want to do what you tell them to do.
They're of course.
Like challenging your rank in the household.
You are so prepared. If anything, I think you're saying that doing your thing prepares you for parenthood 100%.
Yeah, except, like, I always say, like, with Ava, though, the only difference is, like, if a guest falls overboard in the middle of the night, it's just one less place to set in the morning. With her, I really care that she's still here tomorrow, you know?
Right, right. So there is a slight difference there. And also, you can't quite, I guess, compare the childbirth to anything you experienced on board before.
Oh, no. Fuck that. I said to Josh, I'm like, if we have another one, I'm getting a C-section and someone is coming to live in my house to help me for the first 6 months.
Oh, quite. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
Someone gave me a book called Cherish the First 6 Weeks. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
I hope they you used that as kindling for a fire.
I did. We had like a drum out the back and I burnt it one night.
Oh, God. Honestly, Hannah, we are meant to be.
I know. Well, you're coming to stay with me when you come to Sydney. We already decided that.
I'm actually considering it for the beginning of next year. So, yeah, keep that.
Well, we're going to have a little chat after the podcast anyway, because I've got a few questions for you that I'm not allowed to ask on the
podcast. Sounds good. Very good.
There is one. I feel like a lot of people are confused. I kind of know how the process works with how long it takes to film and then how long the show takes to air. But obviously we saw, I don't think you can call it anything less than a Twitter meltdown from Chef Rachel. And I think a lot of people are asking, like, did that happen before or after filming? So can you clear that up for us?
I don't want to comment too much, but for timeline purposes, if anyone's got any sense about them, we filmed the show in February until sort of early April, end of March, and then it airs usually November time. So the any drama that happened, I think, happened post filming.
Okay, so it happened after filming. That would make more sense. I think yes, everyone's like, that would be an interesting choice.
I haven't spoken to Rachel so in a bit. But I know that we filmed very happily together and we had a wonderful experience and everything was great at the beginning of the year.
See, those Southern Charm boys are always fucking people up. No, I'm joking. I'm actually friends with them. Okay, I'm actually chatting with one of them after this because he's coming to Sydney. So
really? I am friends with them. Fun.
Yeah. We're running out of time, but I have a few more questions
on that
for you.
Yeah, go on. Go.
Yes, I will. So obviously we saw in season 9, you had a flirtation with Jake. Where does your relationship stand with him today?
Jake and I are still very good friends. I've seen him multiple times in the UK. He's actually currently in Bali. He's begun his new life on OnlyFans and doing quite well on it, as far as I'm aware.
Really?
I don't want to promote him. I want to promote money towards me. But yeah, he's doing really well for himself.
Have you got an OnlyFans, Fraser? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I don't think anyone will be bothered. But like, oh God, how boring. No, I don't. I don't have any intention. I don't. But no, he's doing really well. He's a sweetheart. He's an amazing friend. And we were only ever friends, great friends.
I know. I kind of liked your relationship.
It was great.
It's so funny because it's only because you guys are dudes that there was that flirtatious thing. Because if you look at Anastasia and Aisha and my relationship, like when we filmed season 4 together, we were like cuddled in bed watching movies and like, I guess Aisha farting on my head wasn't that romantic.
Not the cutest. Yeah.
Not the cutest.
Thankfully, I wasn't in any of those situations. But no, I think Jake and I really just got along, and then the flirtatious side came out and we were a bit pissed and it was cute. Yeah. And we went to Miami afterwards and we had a very interesting but wonderful time together. But ultimately we're good friends and I think that's all that matters.
Yeah. Oh, good. I personally am so excited for the rest
of
the season.
Thank you so much.
I think that you have such a great attitude. Your snarky, bitchy remarks as you walk away give me life. So sick of boring interview bites. Not saying, oh my God, I got in trouble for this like 2 weeks ago as well. Not saying that all the chief stews have been boring, just that I like my chief stews or chief stewards a little more like snarky and bitchy and honest than I've
seen. Honest is the word. So, honest.
Yeah.
Oh, feel away and say it. Good grief. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm very excited you're here. I have a very good gut feeling that this is going to be like, we're going to be interviewing in 3 years' time when you've done your 4th season as chief steward. So
we'll see.
Congratulations.
But thank you, Hannah. And having your baton of respect is very, very, very appreciated on this side.
Yeah, of course, honey. Well, thank you so much for joining. Like I said to you, I want to get you back. Obviously, it's below deck, so we've got like another 18 weeks or 19 weeks ahead of us.
We do.
So I want to get you back mid-season to chat more because I know there's some bombshells happening this season. But I did want to just get you on more as a massive congratulations. And I'm very proud of you and so, so happy for you.
I absolutely adore you and thank you so much for having me. It means the world.
Okay, thanks so much, Fraser.
Speak to you soon, Hannah. Bye, darling.
Okay, guys, enjoy your week and I will chat with you next week with another fabulous guest. Take care, guys.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.